This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
I would personally say this. I think the league probably needs ESPN a little bit more than vice versa. I think whatever you want to say about ESPN and how it's changed, and even, you know, if you don't like it as much as you used to, it is still the place that sports fans go to watch games.
That was Cubs play-by-play guy and ESPN play-by-play guy Boog Sciambi. I love Boog, man. He's a lot of fun, and I'm glad that we have a relationship as a show and a station with him, because he's always got good stuff and he always comes ready to play. It's so funny, Speaks, because after that show is when I listened to Pablo Torre's podcast on the breakup between ESPN and Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball had a contract with ESPN worth about $550 million a year. There were opt-outs. They opted out from 2026, 27, and 28.
Rob Manfred said some weird things about ESPN and like had some odd complaints when he talked about that news. But go ahead.
Yeah, and it reduced the amount pay for MLB content over the remainder of the term is one of the things that Rob Manfred said in the memo. So look, I'm sitting here like, man, does this mean that baseball is dying? We often tend to make grand pronouncements like this about things when we see some of the money changing hands. And then I listened to Pablo Torre's podcast, which is really amazing. I highly recommend it for a lot of things Pablo finds out. He has a sports business pod once a week with John Skipper, who used to run ESPN and who was there when this contract was put together. And with David Sampson, and people feel a certain way about David Sampson. I've come to love him from listening to the Levitard show. I find him to be provocative for sure, but a very interesting person to get information from. He used to be the president of the Marlins. So what's interesting to me about this, Speaks, and what I wanted you to hear is these two guys work together now. The Skipper is running the DraftKings network with Dan Lebatard. So he's no longer affiliated with ESPN. And Sampson is no longer affiliated with Major League Baseball.
So you've got guys who are willing to take like a practical, objective perspective with the experience of having been inside the league and inside the network.
Yes, but the fascinating part is that they jump back into their old roles when they started talking about this particular topic. Speaks, you got to hear this. This is them talking about the Manfred memo and us getting both sides of the story between how the network felt and how baseball felt.
Rob Manfred, Commissioner of Baseball, speaking now. We and ESPN have mutually agreed to terminate our agreement. While ESPN has stated they would like to continue to have MLB on their platform, particularly in light of their upcoming launch of their DTC product, direct-to-consumer product, we do not think it's beneficial for us to accept a smaller deal to remain on a shrinking platform. And then they go on to say, to that end, we have been in conversations with several interested parties around these rights over the past several months and expect to have at least two potential options for consideration over the next few weeks. To be clear, our games will continue to be on ESPN for the entirety of the 2025 MLB season, including the postseason. Any new deal will commence in 2026.
So wait, we have a little clue there. They didn't say, we know this is no longer a good deal for us. They said it would not be a good deal for us to take less money. He did not say the current deal is a bad deal. He said it would not be a good... Isn't that what it said, Pablo?
It says, we do not think it is beneficial for us to accept a smaller deal to remain on a shrinking platform, David.
First of all, we're misleading our audience. This was not a PR statement. This was a memo that was sent to MLB owners by the commissioner.
Which the commissioner knows will get leaked.
Yeah, hold on. David, hold on, man. David Sampson is the number one. He does exegesis. The exegesis of the PR statement, right? You approach this Talmudically almost. And you're telling me that you don't think Rob Manfred knew that owners would then release this and circulate it?
Oh, I think it was written like all memos are to owners as though they will be released immediately. And as a matter of fact, if I'm baseball, I'm more than happy to have this released so that everyone is clear about what's happening, because the most important part of the memo was pointing out to owners in no uncertain terms, they're going to be fine. And we are getting away from a partner that was not valuing our relationship or our assets in the way that other partners will. And you can't write that memo to an owner and then leak it if you do not have a deal that you know you're going to cut that is going to be worth that amount or more.
So that's Sampson and Skipper getting into it a little bit. And Sampson, and I'm starting to feel similar to his point of view, and Skipper actually ended up agreeing with him. I think that they will find their money, which is mainly what they care about, but they're going to have to do it in pieces. That it's not going to just magically appear on Fox, for example, and their whole national schedule is there. It's going to be... Here's a little bit on Apple, or a little bit more on Apple. Here's some in another place. Maybe it's on CBS partly. I think they're going to find their $550 million or even more just from different partners.
Interesting. That's clearly what they've been trying to do, Lawrence. And it's been the case over the last several years that if you want MLB, even if you have MLB TV, you got to make sure that you also have Apple TV. You had to make sure that you had Peacock on a Sunday morning. You got to make sure that you have ESPN and a regular cable package, as well as whatever your local broadcast outlet is. And maybe that's two or three different broadcast outlets. And you have to be careful that you don't live in a place that's outside the blackout rules. It has been a cluster bleep for a long time that has just gotten worse and worse and worse. At the same time, people's habits have gotten cleaner. Like, we like to have all our stuff together if we can. Even some of us who are cord cutters, some people still holding on to Xfinity because at least all my stuff is there with one press of a button.
It's a bundle, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it is. It's a bundle freaking Rooski is what it is. Meanwhile, as all this is going on, the local RSNs have fallen apart to the point that so many teams now are going to be broadcast by MLB themselves this year. I think the whole thing is in for a massive restructuring that it could end up being part of the incredibly messy work stoppage in a couple years, Lawrence, because if they want to be, as Manfred has said flat out, they want to be like the NBA or like the NFL, they're going to have to get all their television together and accessible. And maybe it is with ESPN, but ESPN will then disseminate in the specific areas, and you'll have options for multicasts and things like that under one Aegis. Maybe they, so what I'm saying is, I think maybe they will get their money, but it's going to come with a massive restructuring that weakens local television revenue, and that means big time TV revenue franchises will have to agree to it. And you're going to see that pressure being put on the Yankees, Dodgers, Phillies, and others to lessen their hold on their local revenue for the betterment of the entire league.
And it's an issue of reach, which is one of the things that baseball has talked about inside that memo, what Sampson was talking about inside the pod of, for better or for worse, and what Boog talked about, honestly, for better or for worse, when it comes to the national landscape of sports, there is a connection to ESPN having it and it feeling bigger. Look at what's happened with hockey since hockey got back with ESPN. It is on a bigger platform, and so there's more opportunity for it. There's another part of this, though, that I wanted to get your reaction to, and it's something that you and I talked about because – you know, I worked for an MLB advanced media product when I was working at 120 Sports, which then became Stadium, which now is CHSN, kind of. The BAM tech aspect of it has always been fascinating to me because baseball has seemed on the forefront from a technological standpoint, but there are so many other little things that don't make sense to me. Sampson, Skipper, and Pablo actually made sense of it, and it was weird to hear Pablo be in the same place that I was, with maybe being a little more ignorant about where things stood with BAM tech.
Why does Major League Baseball feel like when the NBA signs a deal, they are being mistreated because of the difference in size?
First of all, let me just say that when you say it went from 700 to 550, don't mislead our 5 a.m. Schroomers. It was a different set of assets that went into the deal.
Please explain.
Things were pulled out, which is what caused the number to go down. And MLB was then able to take a playoff package and go elsewhere with it. And it ended up being an increase. How do I know? Because we got a bigger distribution of money year two than year one. So that's first of all. And John, are you nodding because
you're right,
you're with me?
Yeah.
So Pablo, you missed that part.
I'm hosting the show. I'm here to have you explain why the characterization of baseball's decline is actually a misread of baseball's estimation of its own value, which I think is the fundamental question I still want your answer to.
Scott Boras is on a media tour right now trying to say that the NBA is 10 years behind. He basically talked about your deal and our deal with BAM Tech, and he spent a lot of time in the media saying baseball, they'll never be the NBA, that they don't have the ratings. They're literally a decade behind, and they had something good, and then they sold it off. The streaming rights, they sold off. He doesn't understand, and the audience, I hope, can now be clarified. What was sold and what the deal was really technology. It was a tech deal. It was not the streaming rights. Where baseball has a problem and what they're trying to fix is that streaming rights are held locally by each team. And the advantage that the NBA and that the NFL have, and certainly the NFL is number one here, is they collect everything and then sell it as a package, and they're able to get more money for it. And that's what baseball wants to do.
Yeah, I go back and make the first point that the deal for, which I did, for 700, 750 included 90 regular season games, and all they got was 30. It didn't include other things that were different. They didn't take a decrease. It's just a different deal. I do not believe they're going to find a single entity to pay them $750, but it doesn't matter. As you pointed out, David, they will fit. All that matters is what the distribution of revenue is ultimately. And I think the distribution of revenue, their bigger problem is the RSNs, not this package from ESPN.
You nailed it, Speaks. That the RSN part of it, yeah. They've got it. And the other thing that I would offer, and I believe it was said during the conversation, I would offer that the NBA and NFL, obviously, they're more national and baseball is more regional. Mm-hmm. So it becomes difficult to try and sell to the audience, not to a network, but to because the amount of inventory that baseball has makes it attractive from that standpoint. But yes. But selling it nationally, you are going to need buy-in from the teams that spend money like water, and they want to protect the island that they're on because of how much revenue comes through their door.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny, I hadn't heard it, and I didn't realize they were going to end up there, but that's exactly where the conversation ends up, because at this point now, you've got 20 teams, maybe 22 teams of 30 who are unhappy with their television deals or have no television deal. And maybe it's even higher than that. You know, like the revenue has gone down. I mean, just look what's happening. You've got the White Sox scrambling to make magic happen with CHSN. With CHSN, and that magic isn't happening. Anybody see what's going on with Marquee of late?
Yep.
In terms of amount of programming, in terms of amount of coverage, et cetera. You've got, so even them, you know, like, and you thought that they were going to be one of those teams that was
they were 2 years too late, it feels like.
And even then, like, and I think they were they might have been a decade too late, but but even then, Lawrence, you thought, well, at least they did this, so they'll pump money into it and maximize it. But they seem to have made a decision over the last year or two about how it's not necessarily even worth it to do some of that. So it's there's a reckoning going on of sorts, and they deserve it. MLB deserves this ugliness and the reckoning that is upon us. I mean, how long have we been covering? How long have we taken calls? Have I taken calls on a Sunday morning from people in Iowa that can't watch their favorite team? You know, it's like MLB let this happen with the blackouts and with the splintered coverage and thought that they would be okay. And hell is coming to breakfast, and they are not okay.
And the thing is for to make it a more of a local thing and to talk about the CHSN thing, everyone over there is trying to make things happen. Comcast is either out or getting out of the RSN business because that model is not profitable enough for them to keep doing it. And then you have to wonder, well, Comcast, Xfinity is part of the Comcast company. Look at what happened in Denver. Look at with Altitude Sports. Like that was a 6-year fight with them trying to come to an agreement. And there were a lot of people that thought, well, maybe the pressure of the NBA season might help CHSN. And I kept thinking about Altitude because the Nuggets didn't help out with Altitude and their thing with Comcast. And now baseball season is upon us. And the other thing that hurts CHSN is the teams themselves, like kind of where they're at on their timeline. There's nothing wrong with the programming. The programming's pretty great, actually. It's a matter of Comcast being able to find the right point of the dollar point for it to be valuable enough for them, and then for the network and the teams to figure out whether or not it's worth it. And it is the worst time. Like if you're a White Sox, if you're someone who's trying to present White Sox, it's the worst time to even offer up the concept of direct to consumer, because the consumer's like, I think I'm good.
Yeah, I think I got
on
enough
this for a while. Yeah, like I need a break from you and you need a break from me.
Yeah. I mean, this it's interesting. It's good stuff. I'm glad you brought it to me. Glad you brought it to the listeners. And it's heavy and it's certainly a little meaty, but it's like it is the reality that is the undercurrent to every big picture baseball conversation. 22 of the 30 teams lowered payroll this season so far. 22 out of 30 lowered payroll. And guess what? That's almost exactly the number of teams that lost money on their TV deals. 21 teams suffered dramatic reductions in television broadcast rights. That stuff was in the Bob Nightingale piece a couple weeks ago where Tony Clark, you know, singled out the Cubs. I think it was while you were away, Lawrence, but like Tony Clark singled out the Cubs. He subtweeted them at the same time that Scott Boras was out there subtweeting the Cubs on foul territory. It's like, and people are going to point at them, but it is emblematic of a league-wide situation where organizations are coming to grips with the fact that the TV model is dead. It's just the TV model of revenue is dead. And yeah, that's why I think consolidation is the eventual future.
Yeah, and you have to kind of you have to be nimble and change with all of this stuff. With the White Sox, I wonder if there is a critical mass, if there is a point where White Sox fans are like, okay, I am upset by this, so I will change to something else, and it actually make a dent into Comcast, which is hard to do because of how big of a company they are. For example, I switched because of the gig. I switched over because I wanted to be able to watch Jay and Kendall on Bulls pre and post. I wanted to be able to see the programming that was going on because, you know, I have a bunch of friends who work over there. And then knowing that White Sox season was coming, I didn't want to just rely on the game rewind, which is excellent. Like, I wanted to be able to live in some of those moments as they are happening live. I don't know if I'm normal in that regard. I don't know if I'm doing it for the gig. If I weren't doing this, if I were just Professor Holmes instead of talk show host Lawrence, I don't know if I would have done that. And I wonder where other people are at when it comes to that sort of thing. If they felt moved to be like, you know what, I'm gonna go get a streamer, and I'm not gonna worry about this anymore. Like, I still have Comcast internet because it's excellent, but I just couldn't. In good faith, like, just sit there and be like, no, I'm not watching these games because it's not on my system. But for the regular White Sox fan, I don't know if that's the case.
Yeah, I don't know. Let me ask you a question. The beard that we talked about earlier in the show, the salt and pepper beard that you're embracing, mostly salt, let's be honest.
No doubt.
Does that help you more as Professor Holmes or as talk show host Holmes? I would assume as Professor Holmes, the level of respect and the discipline possible has been elevated by the beard.
I have not worn a beard in front of my students. So spring quarter will be the first, if I make it that long, spring quarter will be the first opportunity to see that. But yeah, I would guess there's some gravitas that yes. comes to this that maybe I haven't earned. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been thinking that for a long time, actually. Ever since you started letting it come in, I've been thinking, I mean, it looks good, but slow your walk a little bit, brother.
He's still an idiot, right? Like, that's fair.
No, you just can't own it yet. You can't own the beard yet.
I can't.
You are not a beard guy yet. You
How much longer I gotta go?
You got great potential. It's a really nice beard. But I think you got to keep it through the summer and see what we deal with in the heat.
The summer is definitely something that I'm thinking about, Shane.
Got to do your summer.
The summer, I'm like, ooh, this might be a lot easier to just zip, zip, zip and be done with it.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about whether Lawrence would be welcomed into the beard community. Mm. But
it was number four on the agenda at the meeting this morning.
All right, well, good. Well, I'm at least making it up there into the top five things that are important to people with beards, which is a good thing.
Yeah, congrats.
When we come back, let's talk ball. Chris Emma is going to join us to talk about the Bears and where things stand with them. We haven't got his thoughts on how this week has gone. We'll do so next on The Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Some people like Chris Emma.
We are part of that contingent of people who like Chris Emma. He does a fabulous job of covering football and the Bears for us on 670thescore.com. And he joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. We'll have a Circa announcement later on in the show. Emma, thanks for joining us, man. This, what a week for the Bears upgrading their offensive line. What do you think?
I mean, how about it? Yeah, this was supposed to be kind of the slower week, the bridge between the combine, where so many discussions take place. And next week, which shotgun start Monday at 11 a.m., the open negotiation period begins. But the Bears have done plenty of work already. I commend Ryan Poles for being aggressive in unique ways with these trades and a veteran guy in Durham Smythe as well, re-signing, doing some due diligence on the roster. So really strong week for the Bears before things really pick up.
So what jumped out at you, Chris? What jumped out at you about these two trades in terms of the quality? Obviously, Tooney as a player, but in terms of what they gave up, it's so little for Jonah Jackson. And then there's the money. Like, and how did you end up piecing it all together to have it make sense for you in terms of these deals?
Well, yeah, a couple things jumped out immediately. Obviously, starting with Jonah Jackson, and it's clear that that's a Ben Johnson influence. Like, we've known since Ben Johnson was brought in, he was going to have a strong same personnel. And this isn't like, don't mistake this as like him and Ryan Poles shouting over each other. Like, this is Ryan Poles willing to work, saying, what do you want for this roster? How can I build this the way you see fit? Jonah Jackson was a Pro Bowler in 2021. I know that's a few years ago. This is an endorsement of a guy who still has plenty of potential in the tank and somebody Ben Johnson sees as a really good fit for this offensive line. They could have passed on a trade option. They could have looked to the open market, found somebody they saw as a better fit at guard. They went out and aggressively got Jonah Jackson, believing he was going to be that guy and get a deal done before we even evaluate the open market. And then you turn it over to Joe Tooney. What stands out to me, guys, is like, they really wanted Trey Smith. And I reported that last week. I believed it was going to happen. Then the franchise tag comes down and suddenly the Chiefs have him locked in. Ryan Poles is following up on that. Like, last year, the Chiefs traded L'Jarius Sneed after using that tag. So that's Ryan Poles going back to the Chiefs and saying, are you set on Trey Smith? Is he open? What's the cost going to be? Okay, he's staying. What about Joe Tooney? Who else is out there? There had to be a domino to fall when you got a roster built like the Chiefs have. It's an outstanding pickup for the Bears. This is a guy who's a veteran, who's reliable, who's a proven leader, and he's going to bring a lot for that team, both on the field and in the locker room.
Yeah, I think that that's a guy, and we discussed it a little bit yesterday, Emma, that I think you found your offensive lineman who gets to wear a C on his jersey now.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because that's been a problem for the Bears, and then finding leadership from that position group. What more work do they have to do in your estimation?
Well, now the focus turns to the other position in the interior, and that's center. And my belief, talking with sources around the league, is that they're going to be very aggressive going after Drew Dolman. And that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to get him, but they're going to have a really strong offer ready. And I wouldn't be surprised if there was framework in place through, you know, under back channel conversations and whatnot, that they really want Drew Dolman. They see this guy as an excellent fit for their line. Then you have your interior set. You got your two guards with Jackson and Tooney. You're addressing that center position. You got Darnell Wright on the other side of right tackle. Then my attention turns to that left tackle spot as we're filling this offensive line. And there's going to be some guys out there in the open market. I tend to believe that Braxton Jones is going to be the left tackle up until draft night. And we'll see if something plays out for them, if they have somebody else, one of these tackles, fall to them with a number 10 pick or not. I think he's penciled in as your starting left tackle, talking about Braxton Jones, but we'll see how that one plays out.
When you look at the cap hits for Jackson, as far as we know right now, and for Tooney, and then you talk about the possibility of Dolman, like, how much is actually possible? What should we brace ourselves for in terms of a free agent haul? I've got visions of the day Julius Peppers and Chester Taylor and Brandon Manomaliuna were all announced together. It's like they don't have room to hit the ground running like that now that they've made both of these trades, or do they?
I would be curious, and I've not heard this definitively, but I think in the next couple days before Monday, you're going to see some restructuring and some deals with the roster to open up some more cap space and kind of reignite some of that aggressiveness. Ryan Poles talked about nothing should hold them back from being aggressive. If there's guys out there you see as excellent fits, they've done all the work on the free agency now in the open market, not to mention the more potential trade options might be out there as well. Ryan Poles is ready to strike. Like, he believes that this roster is ready to win despite what happened last year. He sees them having a head coach now who he thinks is going to get them over the top. And this is his turn now. He's got to build this thing up the right way. So I think they're going to be very aggressive in free agency once it begins on Monday. And we've seen Ryan Poles as well getting these deals done like right away. The agreements are in place early after the 11 o'clock hour on Monday. I think you're going to see one or two of those by Monday, I don't know, early afternoon.
To go back to something you were saying earlier, is it fair to say that the relationship with Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles is more of a partnership than what we saw with Poles and Eberflus?
It's a good question. I think – I don't know if it's any different in terms of the partnership as much as just – I think there's probably a stronger conviction for Ben Johnson's vision for this roster than there was for Matt Eberflus's. And it helps now, of course, when you got the quarterback in place. And Ryan Poles, Ben Johnson both believe certainly in Caleb Williams. That goes a long way. You're able to really build from that point when you're looking at establishing this roster and obviously constructing this offense from the ground up. So I think there's certainly a connection there. And you know, I asked Ryan Poles the day that Ben Johnson got introduced about what it's going to look like for the personnel stand. He seemed to really embrace it. Like, tons of credit to Ryan Poles. He's not an arrogant guy. He's not going to be stubborn and say, we're doing it my way. We want this guy. Like, he truly wants Ben Johnson's vision for this roster, it seems. And we've already seen examples of that. Jonah Jackson is a perfect example to show that Ben Johnson is going to have plenty of say on this roster construction. It's a strong move for the Bears, and I'm curious to see how many more Ben Johnson-type moves that we're going to see here in the next couple weeks.
I love when you plug Ben's vision in an answer like that. It's a really nice move.
Big fan of the show, guys.
But to plug the segment. Yeah, no, man, we appreciate it. We do it on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Did you do it yesterday, by the way, Lawrence? In my absence, did you get to it?
No, we didn't do it because, you know, obviously this is we didn't want to throw that at Layla and be like, yeah, we were doing all this positional research, and we know we just asked you to kind of do the show. Go ahead and do all this positional research.
Well, it just speaks to just how important I am to Ben's vision.
I appreciate that. That's why your name's first on the show. Sorry, Emma, you don't need to be dragged into this.
Hey, Chris, we got other time to do this, but as long as you're here, Chris, what do you think about... No, I'm just kidding.
Chris, whose name should be first on the show?
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say it, Shane, but thank you for saying that out loud.
I am getting a phone call here.
Yeah, no, it's
that's
a good answer.
That's the way to do it. That's
well played.
That's right there. I like that. Yeah. Have you started paying attention to what you hope the Bears do with the draft, or is that connected to what they get done for you in free agency?
It's more connected to free agency. Like, I want to view this team with the expectation of being a playoff team in 2025. Like, that's not at all unfair. That should be expected. And even despite 5-12 and a downright miserable last season, like, this roster is still, you believe, trending in the right direction, needs the right tweaks, the adjustment, and certainly a new leader in Ben Johnson in place. So I'm holding that to this team to that standard of being in the postseason next year. So with that in mind, I want to see how they fill some of these voids in free agency and then kind of see what these needs are as you head toward the draft. The first couple of years for Ryan Poles, it's easy to say, like, this is the best player available. There's wide open roster. That entire thing was a blank slate when he took over. Now you're able to really cater some of these things to the needs on the roster. We've heard Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson both say this open market and this draft class really fit what the Bears are seeking to improve the depth chart. That's a great place to be. If you're a Bears fan now, you start looking at the draft, hope for like that run on quarterbacks. Like, start hyping up Jackson Dart as being the next savior at quarterback and hope for 2-3 of those guys to go in the top 9 before the Bears, and you're going to get something good to fall to you. So I'm not quite there in terms of scouting out the draft just yet. So, like, in a month, I'll be kind of full diving in on this, but I'm fascinated by how next week takes shape.
Chris, I announced my running back of choice for this upcoming draft earlier on in the show, Quinshon Judkins.
Oh, yeah.
From Ohio State. I'm a big fan. As a powerful inside runner with the skills to get small between the tackles, Lawrence then added and read a description that talked about him varying his stride to fit the necessities of the hole. Like, it's a guy who runs low to the ground, super powerful, has a good stiff arm, will lower his shoulder. And DeAndre Swift, I think, is going to be here as your speed and outside version. I think he's going to be your Swift. This is your Montgomery. This is your Knuckles. And I'm a big fan of Quinshon Judkins.
I like that one a lot, Speaks. And let's kind of get out in front of this, too, because I've been asked this a lot this week after making the moves on the offensive line. Like, I don't think anything changed on the Ash and Genty front, and I just don't see that being a Ryan Poles-type move. Like, you look at the history in Kansas City, and they just didn't go out aggressively to get those running backs. They like to find them in the mid-late rounds. One of the exceptions was Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who was a total bust in Kansas City, even with an offense that prolific. Mm-hmm. I don't think anything changed with Ashton Genty. I don't think he's more likely now, because we knew the Bears are going to be addressing the offensive line. They just happened to do it out in front of free agency. I love that pick with Judkins, because I'd rather look to those mid to late rounds, and you're going to be able to find guys if you scout that out right. And again, Ben's vision, that's where it comes into play. You find somebody of value and of potential in those day two, day three picks, and you feel really good about it.
Emma, you're the man. Thanks so much for jumping on with us. We appreciate it.
Take care, guys. Happy Friday.
Thanks, man. Chris Emma from our staff. You want to talk candy?
Yeah, man, I got something. I bought something today. It's seasonal. I just saw it for the first time of this particular season now, and I went and grabbed it, and it's not a Reese's varietal.
Damn.
I know. It's something else. Because
it's definitely that time. The Reese's egg is out there in the streets.
And there was another Reese's thing I got to ask you about. So we can do a couple different things.
I've got a Reese's thing also for you guys. So
you do?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, boy.
I used my Reese's thing yesterday.
Yeah,
damn
you
it.
Did, yeah. Yeah. At 5 o'clock, too. It's an odd choice. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's more of a Reese's problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
More of a Reese's problem than a Reese's pieces.
Yes. All of that discussed next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Look at this duo. He's all grown up. Look at you two. I love the mashup between you two, by the way. It's like two great comic books that I used to collect are now a team up.
Afternoons on The Score.
If you want to throw some candies out there and I give you the instant reaction on what there are, that's my service.
Milk Duds.
That's a solid movie candy.
I agree.
Is that Carrington?
That is Carrington.
Say it right.
Danny.
Carrington.
No, the way you say it, Speaks. I do the Carrington impression.
My bad. Carrington Harrison.
There we go.
Damn. Yeah.
He's right. That you want to space out your milk dud consumption. And it's great for a movie because, you know, maybe you're doing a little bit of nervous eating depending on the movie that you're watching. It's perfect for that.
Yeah. I think the new the tagline for Milk Duds ought to be this: Milk Duds for when you're done with your teeth, you know? Because they'll go ahead and grab whatever you got left of your teeth and just pull them right out your
mouth. That's why you got to get a fresh box of Duds. Like, if you get a fresh box of Duds, it is good living.
Look, obviously, there's a lot of Reese's topics to discuss. There's a lot of that. I've got an item. You've got an item. Tanny's got an item. But we will start with this one from the candy aisle. The holiday candy selection includes the Twix egg. The Twix egg, ladies and gentlemen, I'm holding it up.
Oh, hell yeah.
The Twix egg is a
Thing?
That is a thing. It is an oval shape. And I've talked about this years ago, but I had forgotten about it. I grabbed myself a six-pack. I was going to bring some in for you guys, but now I'm home, so I've already had two of them, and there's four left. I don't know what's going to happen to them over the weekend. I have some ideas. But it's an oval shape, and it's an oval.
I'm sorry, Spinks, you're frozen.
Cookie.
You're frozen on our Zoom, but it's just you. It looks like it's just you holding the Twix.
You just offering
egg.
Them up.
Yeah,
for us, and that's okay. Like, that's fine, but we can still hear you, which is the most important thing.
All right, good. Well, it's beautiful because it's an oval chocolate on an oval shortbread with all of that caramel. So it's it's an incredible experience, and I still eat them like I eat a Twix, where I eat all the caramel off the top and then try to eat the chocolate from around the sides.
Well, that's because you've killed multiple people.
It's a little psychotic.
I keep forgetting. I'll remember it next week. I'll bring you the caramel fudge shortbread from Kill Winds, because I was talking to you about it, and you know how I feel about Lorna Dunes, and so this is like Lorna Dune to the max. And these things are like $4 a piece, but guess what, Spiegs?
They're worth
every bleeping penny. So, right, I'll stop by the one in Hyde Park the next week and bring you some.
All right, so the Twix egg is a strong recommend. But then, and I saw you already had a text exchange about this, there in the Easter candy section at the Mariano's is a wide array of Reese's eggs, and yes, the Reese's carrot.
I've never seen the carrot. So a texter brought that up, and that's new to me. I didn't know there was even a thing of a Reese's carrot.
Yeah, I don't know why they're competing with their egg.
Yes!
I mean, what are you doing? The egg is the spring / Easter Reese's varietal.
So this is different than the bag that's shaped like a carrot that's filled with Reese's pieces. This is something else entirely.
Yes.
This is a peanut butter carrot. It's a limited edition chocolate with the creamy peanut butter in a festive carrot shape, complete with a leaf detail at the top.
My guy.
I'd say keep it limited. Detail. Keep that limited.
I haven't tried the carrot. I can't imagine that it's worth trying once I've had the egg and the pumpkin and the tree. I mean, they're all great, but like, why do I need the carrot as well?
They already nailed the chocolate to peanut butter ratio with the egg. Don't mess it up.
I agree.
Don't
Shane.
Fix something that's not broken.
I agree.
I'm trying to also figure out who you're trying to appeal to there
with the carrot,
because you're clearly doing a spring. They don't spend any money.
It's the rabbit population. I think that's true.
But if you're doing the spring thing and the Easter thing and the Easter basket thing, you've got the egg.
I suppose the carrot could go longer than the egg. Like, once Easter hits, you can't do the egg anymore, and you can keep the carrot out there.
Man.
I suppose.
Why? Because eggs disappear after Easter and carrots don't.
Man,
are we doing?
If someone wants to share a Reese's egg, a package of Reese's eggs with me after Easter, I'm good. I love it. Please bring it on.
Bring it on. So here's the thing about rabbits not spending money. I think I know why. It's because they don't have any pants. You know what I mean? They got no place to put the money, no place to carry it.
You got to hang out with cooler rabbits, dude.
Like George.
I don't know any rabbits with pants.
Jessica.
All right, Tanny, what was your Reese's item that you had?
I wish you didn't.
Tanny, you had a Reese's item that you didn't bring?
I'm sorry, Speaks. Just trying to process that. So there's a store that I shop at. No free plugs on this show, but they are a buy-in-bulk store. They don't need to advertise anyway, let's be honest. But they have a product. It is a animal cracker covered in chocolate and peanut butter. It's a Reese's animal cracker.
I have had that. Tanny, it is amazing.
They're awesome, but it's just this industrial-sized bag, and you keep it in the house, and you can't walk by it without grabbing a handful.
Why not?
It's a problem, guys.
Why wouldn't you do that?
It's a bad business model, for one, because I can't buy this ever again. I can't keep this bag in my house anymore.
Bring it here.
Yeah.
But that's right.
Yeah, but I don't know if this is an exclusive item to this particular store. But
no, I saw it at the airport. I saw it at the airport in Arizona. We got it for the
flight
home.
You brag about flying, man.
Yeah,
we get it.
And you landed?
I did.
These days,
but they're a problem. They're a problem. They're so good.
I tell you what, I love the frosted animal crackers. Like just the basic the vanilla chocolate frosted animal crackers.
God, I'm so hungry right now.
And a bunch of us now our Girl Scout cookies are getting close to being delivered these days, which is good.
RFK told me there's a lot of bad stuff in those cookies.
There are?
Yeah, apparently.
I'm here to support the Girl Scouts on this.
Hey, Lawrence, I don't know if this is true. A guy texted in earlier that he thought the eggs, like the special shapes, are filled with peanut butter cream and the cups are filled with regular peanut butter, that it's a different filling in the Reese's seasonal shapes than the cups. That doesn't sound right to me.
It doesn't sound right to me, but we can check. Texters have been more right than wrong today, and we've been more wrong than right. So maybe he's got a point here. It's you know what it deserves, Speaks? Research. That's what it deserves. Taste testing research and not coming to any conclusions.
Google says no. Google says it's the same peanut butter. It just seems creamier because there's more of it.
You're damn right there's more of it. Yeah. And the ratio's right on.
It is. Yeah, no, you've always been right about that, Lawrence. And it's the freshness because they make it fresh for the season. So you're not in danger of getting some old stuff.
I got to tell you, too, the packaging does something for me as well. Like the yellow packaging of that. I don't know why it makes a difference, but it does.
Speaking of filling stuff like this, I need to bring back one of Spieg's worst food takes ever. This is probably 7-8 years old. I was still part-time filling in. Spieg's prefers Oreo thins over any kind of Oreo, and it's just such a bad take.
Yeah, no, it's it is a delicious, delicious way to do it. Because the golden ones. Because the golden Oreo cookie is really an excellent cookie on its own, if you ask me.
I'm golden double stuff over anything. I was tempted after someone had brought up that the Post Malone Oreo is really good.
Yeah,
I was tempted,
good.
But I didn't try it because I went to the grocery store and they were like $7 a bag. I was like, I'm good. I'm good on that.
I used to be a double stuff guy. Maybe I've just aged into a little bit more elegance, Shane, and that'll happen for you one day.
Nope,
you know, it's like there's enough cream in the thin to really satisfy what I'm looking for in the combo platter.
There's
I like the cookie. The cookies a little less sugar.
You know what I would suggest, Speaks?
What's that, Lawrence?
Research and a taste testing next week. We just
I gotta
sit
bring you
here
some
and
carrots.
Eat cookies.
A texter says the carrot is not as good as the egg, that there's too much chocolate surrounding the peanut butter.
See, this is the problem that you go into when you go away from your classics. Like, there's no reason to do that at all. That was fun. And now we're all hungry.
We got something to talk about here. I know there's some Olin stuff that you want to get to. You got to tell me about it because I missed it. But we also have a Bears tweet. We have a Bears social media post.
Are you going 10 hat now on...
Dude...
All right. Okay.
I don't see how it's not. All right. You got to tell me. Like, I'm full on double rainbow. What does it mean?
I like it. Let's have a little fun. Free agency is around the corner. Why not? Let's discuss next here on The Score.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.